And let me share screen. Share screen. This one. Okay, I think we should be good. Okay, can everybody see it?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
This is more or less where we started to look at this Perek Chet, which is which includes all the events of Perek Yud, the battle with Aram or the forces of Aram, the various city states and kingdoms of the north that expands David's kingdom. Essentially, the two battles. There's the first battle with Ammon, in which Aram comes to assist and Yoav gets into trouble. That ends in a kind of a stalemate. The second battle, which David goes up north and conquers the forces of Aram all the way up to the Euphrates. That's the big battle with Aram. Then we spent a couple of weeks learning through Perek Samach Chet of Tehillim, in which David describes that battle in terms of its hand of God in that battle, demonstrative of revelation, equal in magnitude to Mamre HaSinai. And then we went back to Perek Chet. And Perek Chet was a kind of a summary perek, almost like a table of contents of all of David's major battles. So it starts with the Plishtim, it includes Moab, it includes Aram, it includes the end of the perek, it includes Edom. We're going to talk a little bit about Edom, Yasam be'Edom tzivim. And so and this perek is an odd perek to structure, to understand. So I shared with you this kind of overview of the whole perek, which is sort of a way of seeing graphically or structurally the overall structure of the perek, which begins with a list of all of the major battles that David fought to conquer the region, V'yachat Plishtim, V'yachat Moab, V'yachat Hadad Ezer ben Rechov Melech Tzova, Hadad Ezer, the main king of Tzova, together with all of his allies, Aram Damesek and Aram Macha. In many ways, the battle with Hadad Ezer has a feel like the story of Abraham and the four kings, where the forces of Kedar La'Omer gather together all of the allies in the north, conquering to the land of Israel. And conquering through the land of Israel, and David is and Abraham goes to save Lot, and in so doing, he conquers the forces of Kedalah Omer and his allies. So you have a very similar kind of feel here, where Hadadezer gathers together all of the forces of the north in order to unite together, and David, who goes to that battle, Lashiv Yadom Ben Harprat. And he conquers him, but Aram Damesek, Lazor Lahadad Ezer Melech Tzova, and that, of course, doesn't help him. All of the Aramean kingdoms that come together to assist, they all get conquered by David, V'yach David Ba'aram, Sumishnaim Elef, and he establishes a garrison to guard the territory of Yasin David Mitzivim Ba'aram Damesek. That kind of summarizes all the major battles that David fought. God saved him, protected him, made him victorious in all of his campaigns. And we have a small aside, which we're going to talk about a little bit more, which is the implication of these battles, the shalal, the spoils of war, and of all of the cities of Hadadezer, that he was able to obtain great spoils from. And then you have the alliance with Toi Melech Hamat, who sends his son Yoram to David to establish a peace treaty and to essentially become an ally of David, because David had conquered Hadadezer, which was his enemy. And there's more shalal. And then we go back to the list of kings that David had conquered: Aram, Moab, Ammon, Plishtim, Amalek, and Hadadezer. And then the story continues with the details of the battle with Edom, which is a new battle we haven't seen yet. V'yas David b'shuvo me'akot et Aram b'gei melech, or Edom b'gei melech. 18,000 were killed by Yoav in Gemelech, which is the southern point of the Dead Sea, the area of Edom. Vayasem be'Edom nitzivim b'chol Edom, sam nitzivim ayu kol Edom avadim leDavid. Again, same idea. Similar statement, vayosh Hashem et David b'chol asher alach, kind of summary of David's life, and the concluding psukim, mayimloch David al kol Yisrael, as a kind of a way of bringing together his whole story. So all of these psukim together, this whole chapter, really, this is sort of the text of chapter 8, really kind of reflect this table of contents, summary. End of David's life includes the battle with the Plishtim, the Moabites, the Edomites, the Aramites, Aram, and of course the major battle with Aram in the north. So we sort of looked at that from a bird's eye, and then we started to narrow into the question of two battles that are mentioned in Parakhet that don't appear in Perek Yud. One is the battle with Moab, and the other is the battle with Edom. And so our goal for today is to kind of zero in a little bit on these two campaigns. Finish that discussion, we'll move on to some of the other issues. But I want to better understand these two battles, one with Moab and one with Edom. Remember, the entire story starts with a conflict with Ammon. Remember back in Perek Yud, it all started because the king of Ammon died and his son took over, and David wanted to send a delegation, peace delegation, and was met with public humiliation. And so he began that military campaign against Ammon. Ammon called in Aram for assistance, and the rest, as they say, is history in Perek Yud. But this battle with Moab doesn't seem to be mentioned there at all. And just to kind of put it in perspective, here's our map. And here's Ammon. And this is where the battle of Ammon took place. Here are the northern kingdoms, armies of Aram coming to assist, and David kind of getting caught in this pincer attack. And then taking the battle up north in the second campaign. And then here in the south, you have Moab and Edom. Moab south of the Arnon River, and Edom south of Nachal Zaar. So how did he end up in Moab and Edom? And what does that have to do with this battle against Ammon? It's kind of this odd moment where he's heading east and north, and he kind of takes an about face and heads south. And that's, could be that he's just kind of cleaning up, but it's an odd moment. Add to the complexity the question of the cruelty that seems to be the character trait with which David deals with Moab. So right at the beginning of Parakhet, Vayachet Moab, Vayamadadem Bachevel. Actually, let's do this in the text of it with the translation. Here, this is Parakhet. Vayach Ed Moab. Vayimadadem bechevel hashkev otam arza. He smote Moab, he measured them with a line, making them lie down on the ground. Vayimaded shnei chavalim lamit umula chavel achayot. Two measured lines put to death, one he kept alive. The arbitrariness of it seems to be quite out of character for David. And of course, vadim Moab the David lavadim nosem mincha. So ultimately, what is driving this cruelty? We suggested at the end of the shiur last week a medrash that appears in the Mefarshim. I shared with you this medrash. The Radak quotes it, that this story has to do with two loose ends. Number one, the family of David that he had deposited under the protection of the king of Moab when he was fleeing from Shaul way back in Shmuel Aleph. And then we never hear of that family again. We never hear of him going back to collect them or to engage with them, etc. And so the Medrash suggests that Moab, the king of Moab, actually killed them all. And so when David shows up in the land of Moab, he has an agenda to exact vengeance against Moab for what they did to his family. And that's exactly what the Radak suggests, as do many of the other Mefarshim. Derech nekama ubizayon. he does this to Moab because as an act of vengeance and shame. Ki asa ze bavur shemitu aviv imo ve'achav kishenichamotam be'eretz Moab. He did this as retribution for what they did to his family, his parents, and his siblings when he had given them over to the king of Moab for safekeeping. And therefore, kishetza David misham alach. I think with the end of the year, we talked about this a little bit. There's a certain discomfort I have with the suggestion that David seems to be driven by what really amounts to personal vengeance. Somehow David is exacting vengeance against Moab because of a personal vendetta. I don't know about anybody else. I'm uncomfortable with the I'm uncomfortable with the notion. So, but for now, I don't have a better alternative. So for now, I just have a question. That's one question. And the other question I have is the battle with Edom. The battle with Edom, all the other battles in this parak are mentioned in Parak Yud, except for the battle with the Plishtim, which is earlier. But the battle with Moab is and it goes straight to the battle with Hadad Ezer ben Melech Tzoba. And then at the end of this parak, we have this odd psuk, Me'yas David, Shem, B'shuvo Me'akotot Aram, David became a well-known name when he returned from smiting Aram, Begem Melech Shmanasar Aleph, in the Valley of Salt, in Gem Melech, 18,000 men. The problem with this pasuk, as the Mefarshim point out, is that Aram is not in Gem Melech. Gem Melech is the southern tip of the Dead Sea. Here's my map. Here. This is a Valley of Salt right here. Sorry. Right here. This area right here under the tip of the Dead Sea is called Emek HaMelech. In Bereishit, it's called Emek HaSidim. Right? The Valley of Salt. So the tip of the Dead Sea. How did Aram end up here? The battle of Aram is in the north. Some of Farshim suggest that it's referring to Aram and a separate battle in Gei Melech with, of course, Edom. Others suggest that this word Aram is referring to not Aram, but Adam or Edom. Either way, the battle of Gei Melech is a battle against Edom. That's clear. And the next pasuk demonstrates that. Ve'yasam be'edom nitzivim. B'chol Edom sam nitzivim, v'yikol Edom avadim l'David, v'yosh Hashem et David b'chol Hashem alach. So David smites Edom, and it's in Edom that he conquers this large group, 18,000 soldiers. We'll talk about the number in a moment. This is a major battle against Edom. Now, in the text here, how long does this battle take to conquer Edom? And it would seem that it's a kind of a, I would call it a cleanup operation. You know, he started with, where's my map? He started with the north, in Ammon, went to the north, and now he's going down south into the world of Edom. Okay, so cleanup in Edom, how long should that take? 18,000, just finished the Battle of Aram. Tens of thousands, maybe even more. How long should it take to deal with Edom? I would imagine not long, right? It's a small little skirmish in comparison to the magnitude of the battle with Aram. Where are we? Yas David Shem b'shuvo mekotet Aram begin Melech shmona asar alef. Yasam be'edom netzivim. So let me show you the same psukim in Divrei Hayamim. Divrei Ein Psukim in Divrei Hayamim. I'm just looking to see if I put it on the source page. Actually, it's not in Divrei Hayamim. My bad. It's in an odd place. This battle is mentioned in a somewhat of an odd place. I think it actually is in Divrei Hayamim. Second. Yeah, it's mentioned in Divrei Hayamim, but only in passing. It says in Divrei Hayamim, "Va'avshai ben Tsruya hika et Edom begeh melach 18 aleph." Avshai ben Tsruya smote Edom with 18,000 against 18,000 men in geh hamelach. Ve'yasem Edom tzim ve'yukol avadim u'David. So there's two takeaways from this reference in Divrei Hayamim. Two kind of nuances, the psukim in Divrei Hayamim, that are different from the psukim in Shmuel. Can everybody see what they are? Rav Shai ben Tsruya ikat Edom begeh melech shmonasa elef, compared to Vayas David Shem b'shuvom yakotot Aram begeh melech shmonasa elef.
One is who defeated the 18,000, killed the 18,000. Was it David or
Avishai? Right. Was it David or Avishai ben Tsruya, Yoav's brother, or Yoav's second in command? So you have David, you have Yoav, who's the chief of staff, and you have under him one of the chief captains, his brother Avishai. So in Divrei Hayamim, it says that this battle against in Geh Melech was actually led by Avishai ben Tsruya. Okay. That's one difference. The other? Again,
this Edom or Aram that was defeated.
Correct. Rav Shai ben Tsruya hika et Edom begeh melech. And in Shmuel it says, "Vayas David Shem b'shuvom yakotot Aram begeh melech." So this is one of the proofs that we have that this Aram is really not Aram. It's just from the flow of the whole story. We keep talking about Aram. This really is a reference to Edom, and the name Edom and Aram can be interchanged sometimes, unfortunately, to our confusion, but. This is probably a reference to Edom. And the Battle of Edom, 18,000 men led by David. David is the battle victory is attributed to David. Vayas David Shem. Vayasem David Nitzivim. Vayosh Hashem et David. Everything's attributed to David, but David has a captain and he has a general and he has people under him. And so this actual campaign was led by Avishai ben Tsruya. So it would seem. Is either of these two references tell us anything about the nature of this battle? How did it look? What took place? No. It just tells us summary. 18,000, Battle of Edom, Battle of Geh Melech. However, there is an odd reference in a place that we would not necessarily expect it. This battle is mentioned in Sefer Melachim Aleph. In Sefer Melachim Aleph, let's do it this way. Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph. This parak is dealing with Shlomo HaMelech's life at the end when he begins to fail and he begins to allow the idolatry from his wives to enter into the kingdom and God is angry and he punishes him and there's a series of distractions that kind of take away adversaries that kind of whittle away at David's kingdom, at Shlomo's kingdom. So one of them is the rising force of Edom. And here, Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, we have the following. V'yakam Hashem satan lishlamo et hadad ha'edomi. God allowed an adversary to come up against Edom. in the persona of Hadad HaEdomi. So first of all, just a word about the word Hadad. We've seen it. Where have we seen it? Who else is called Hadad? Or close to it. What's the name of the great of the king, the leading king of the northern forces of Aram that David conquers?
Hadadezer.
Hadadezer. Correct?
Right.
Hadadezer. Hadadezer. Or Hadadazer. Right? So this Hadad is the king of, is the leader of Edom. So Hadad must be, and I don't have a lot of evidence to work with here, but evidently a lot of foreign kings and powers were called Hadad. Hadad must be somehow related to some deity or some reference to foreign deities of foreign cultures. I will come back to the significance of that, if not today, then in 2 weeks, but just bear that in mind. So Hadad HaEdomi, Mizera HaMelech Hu BeEdom. From the seed of the kings of Edom. So King Edom has been subjugated since the days of David. They become kind of his servants after the battle in Gemelach. And here at the end of Shlomo's life, Hashem says, Yakam Hashem Satan Shlomo, Hadad Edomi. Hadad Edomi begins to cause trouble for David, for Shlomo. And this is really the first time, says the text, Vayhi biyot David et Edom, when David was in Edom, once upon a time, Ba'alot Yoav Sar HaTzava L'Kaber Et HaChalalim, when Yoav, captain of David's army, went to bury the slain, bury the defeated. Fayach Kol Zachar BeEdom, and he smote all of the males of Edom. We'll talk about that phrase in a moment. Ki Sheshet Chodashim Yeshav Sham Yoav V'Chol Yisrael. Ad hichrit kol zachar be'edom. 6 months Yoav and the army sat there until they destroyed the males of Edom. Vayivrach Adad hu v'anashim edomiyim mi'avdei David aviv ito labo mitzrayim v'hadad na'a katan. At that time, Hadad, the young boy, had escaped the wrath of David and Yoav by running to Mitzrayim, and now out of Mitzrayim, he comes to cause trouble to Shlomo. We're not looking at the story of Shlomo right now, but there's an interesting couple of takeaways of the description of Edom's, the battle against Edom, in this parak, which is two in particular. Number one, the battle is attributed to Yoav. So Yoav, Avishai were together, one led the battle, one led the cleanup. It's unclear, but certainly both of these campaigns were led by the captains, Yoav and or Avishai, and not by David. David maybe led the battle against Moab. Yoav maybe led the battle against Edom. Unclear. That's number one. Number two, what else do we learn from this?
It took 6 months. It
took 6 months, right? Which is not means that this is not a small skirmish. 18,000 people died, but it was not a small battle. This was a major campaign. 6 months is a long time in biblical terms. The whole story of David and Bathsheba begins when, in Perek Yud Aleph, Vayilu Tshivat Hashana Le'et Tzet HaMalachim Vayishlach David Et Yoav Ve'et Avada V'Imo Ve'et Kol Yisrael Ve'yashkitu Et Bnei Amon Ve'yatsudu Avaba Ve'David Yoshev Bishalayim. After the Battle of Aram, David sent Yoav to besiege the city of Ammon, and he led a siege around the city. It took a year. And so during that siege, that year, David let Yoav sit there and besiege the city of Ammon. David went back to Yerushalayim. And unfortunately for David, that did not go as planned. But I have a year to fight against Ammon. I have 6 months in a battle against Edom. Right? Unclear how long I have against in the battle against Moab. I have the description of the really intense cruelty, which seemed, in the battle against Moab, where he destroys I'm looking in the wrong parak. This is what I want. Coming back to parakhet. Right, this battle of Moab, Yemadede b'chevel ashkevotam arza v'yemaded shnei chavalim la'amit, sort of seems this arbitrary decision of who lives and who dies, and have a similar mandate in the battle of Edom, where he seems to destroy Kol Zachar, all the males, to the point that that has to run. So one thing we need to kind of clarify, the reference to Adichrit Kol Zachar, I don't think means what it would mean in modern literal translation in today's terminology. Today's terminology that would be considered a war crime. You take all the males of a population and destroy them and essentially wipe out the seed of Edom for all eternity. In the language of Tanakh, that's not what it means. The language of Tanakh, to fight against Kol Zachar, all the males, is essentially a way of referencing a battle against the army. Because who went to war? Who was the army? Right? Unlike the women and children who are civilians or non-combatants, the Zachar represents the fighting army. So to reference Adichrit Kol Zachar is a very poetic way in biblical terms of describing a battle against the army of Edom. Midrashically, there's a famous debate about Shaul and his battle against Amalek, where the Medrash interprets the story where Shaul was supposed to destroy everybody in Amalek, including the non-combatants, and he chose to only kill the males because he misread the word Zecher and Zachar. Right? Kol Zachar, Timche et Zachar Amalek instead of Zecher Amalek. And so he understood that to mean the war with the army and not with the people. We offered a different interpretation of the story of Amalek, but this is another example where the reference to Kol Zachar means the army or the combatants. But even so, that's still a campaign, 6 months. I'm going to take a stab at a guess that I have a similar response to Moab. It's not a description of the killing of women and children, but rather of retribution against the army of Moab. What is driving
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Why do we care who these generals are? Why do we spend so much time that David's not the doing it, but these generals are? Why do we care so much who's doing it?
That's an interesting question. I guess in part to see how much is attributed back to David, but also in part to see you know what, Adina, to answer your question, I'd have to delve into the story of Bathsheba, which we will get to, but not today. The answer to your question has to do with what happens when David sits back and lets his generals do his work for him. It's not a good, it doesn't end well for David. So there's a longer answer there, but I'm gonna leave it at that for now.
Rabbi, also, isn't there a whole business with Yoav? Like, he's a good guy, he's a bad guy.
Yoav and Avishai together. Bnei Tzruya, the hotheads of Bnei Tzruya, correct. So there is an element of cruelty in this campaign. If it's being perpetrated by Yoav and or Avishai, it might be more in line with their kind of character trait overall, although the battle with Moab seems to be attributed to David himself, Vayachet Moab, Vayimadede Bechevo. And so either way, I'm left with this mystery of these two campaigns, Moab and Edom, both mentioned in Perakhet, both seem to have a kind of protracted cruelty to them that's out of character for David. And my question is, if you look at the map, they're both here in the north, Moab and Edom, what are they doing there? Interestingly, this whole story is also mentioned in Tehillim. And so I'm going to take you to a quick look at Perek Tehillim, Perek Samach. And this is an interesting story because Whereas Perek Samachet, which described the kind of this revelation and this great hand and victory, etc., was very very powerful. Perek Samach describes a moment of crisis in the battle against Aram that leads to a great tefillah and a great crying out and a great moment of existential questioning, and then ultimately victory. So if you take a look at this paragraph, these headings are a subject to themselves. I'm going to leave that out for now. When David strove or fought with Aram Naharaim. Now there's only one battle in which David fights against Aram Naharaim, actually two. The first battle of Ammon, in which Aram Naharaim comes to assist, and the second battle in the north. Aram Naharaim et Aram Tzova, v'yashov Yoav v'yach et Edom b'gei Melach. And Yoav returned and smote Edom in the Valley of Salt, Shnimasar Aleph. As it says, 18,000 years, it says 12,000, but here it attributes the battle in Gei Melach to Yoav. In Divrei Yomim, it attributes it to Avishai. In Shmuel, it attributes it to David. Okay, so you get a sense that this triangle is working together. Elohim, Zenachtanu, Fratztanu, you have abandoned us. You have broken us. Anafta, you've been angry at us. Teshovev lanu, return, restore us. It sounds like a Tehillim you would write at a moment of crisis. We're existential crisis. You've abandoned us. You've cast us away. You're angry at us. Return to us. We'll return to you. Moment of tshuva. Here, Ashta Eretz, you made the land shake. Ptsamta, you've cleft it apart. Refash Varaya Kimata, therefore heal the breaches because it's teetering. You've shown your people difficult things. You made us drink the water of poison, of punishment. You gave your servant a banner for those who fear you, that it may be displayed. Like this banner of victory. Because of your beloved should be delivered. Save us with your right hand. Elokim, God spoke in his holiness. E'eloza, I will go up. Achalka shechem, I will divide the portion. E'emek sukkot amaded, I will meet out the valley of Sukkot. Ligilad Limanasher Ephraim Ma'oz Roshi Yehuda Mechokiki Gilad Menasher Ephraim Yehuda all will be victorious. Moav Sir Rachzi Al Edom Ashlich Na'ali, to Moav will become my washpot. Edom I will cast upon my shoe, my foot upon their neck. Alai Pleshet Hitra'i, cry out, Pleshet, cry out aloud because of me. The victory described here to Moav, Edom, and Plashet. This can only refer to one parak. We have only one parak in Tanakh in which David mentions the battles against Ammon, against Moav, Edom, and Plashet. Right? And that's our parak. Mi vileni ir matzor, who will bring me to the fortified city? Mi nachani ad Edom, who will lead me down to Edom? Halo atah Elokim znachtanu, has you, God, not cast me away? Who is going to lead me in the victory? Give us help against our adversary. Veshav chuat Adam, for vain is the help of man. It's a play on the word Adam and Edom. Velokim nasachayel, with God's help we shall be valiant. Behu yavust serenu, he shall tread upon our enemies. So unlike Perek Samach Chet, which described this great miracle and victory and a hand of God and revelation, this parak describes a mindset of crisis. engaged against Aram, engaged against Moab, engaged against Edom, engaged against all of the battle, the same battles, but in the moment of existential crisis where they feel the hand of the enemy closing around their necks and they cry out to God as if you save us, because if not, we have nowhere to turn. Clearly, this could not be a parak that would describe the battle on the Golan, the battle of Chilam against the forces of Aram. So what battle are we describing here? What battle are we describing here if we're not describing the great victory on the Golan?
Moab and Edom.
Either Moab and Edom, which would be a description of why it would take so long and why there would be such harshness, because it was a much harsher battle. So it's hard to imagine that the battles against Aram would be so much easier than the battle against small countries like Edom and Moab. It's possible. Or go back to the reference to Yoav and go back to the beginning of the story. Right? This story starts with two campaigns. Where's my map? This story started with two campaigns. It started with a campaign against Ammon, in which Yoav found himself surrounded on both sides by Ammon and Aram. And if you remember the psukim back in Perek Yud, when Ammon and Yoav were fighting in the fields, and out came all the forces of Aram to assist. Yoav saw that the battle was set against him above, in front and behind, on two fronts. So he split the camp. So he gave half the army over to Abishai to deal with Ammon, and he took the smaller force of special forces to fight against Aram. And he said to know the language of
Teacher Appreciation Week. To celebrate, we bring you.
Listen to the language of Yoav's response. Vayomer, Yoav said to Avishai, "Im techazak Aram imeni v'itali lishua. If Aram is stronger than me, then you shall come to assist me. V'im b'nei Amon yechazku mimcha, and if b'nei Amon overpowers you, then I will come alachtun lo shielach. Chazak v'nit chazak ba'adameinu v'adarei Elokeinu. Be of courage, be strong for our cities and for the cities of God. And God will do what is good in his eyes." This is a tefillah that Yoav expresses before the battle against the pincer attack of Aram and Ammon, in which Yoav describes a moment of crisis. Right? This is not the army of Israel marching into the Golan, into the area of Aram, and just clearing the entire range all the way out to Damascus and to Mesopotamia. It's a much more complex battle in the heart of Ammon, in which he feels that he is surrounded on both sides, in Panim V'Achor. And it's in that context, this tefillah, this parak of Tehillim, attributed to David, but it could easily have been written by Yoav. Batzotot Aram Narayim Vayashav Yoav Vayachet Edom. The battle against Aram Naharaim, and when Yoav came to fight against Edom, this battle, before it even started, was against Ammon and Aram together, and God and Yoav felt he'd abandoned, he'd been tricked, he put himself into an existential danger. This tefillah could have been uttered at that moment. Zenachtana, you've abandoned us. Pratstano, you've broken us, you're angry at us, return to us. Hashem yaseh atob meina. Which only emphasizes what kind of danger David or Yoav felt they were in at that moment. We underestimate this battle if we think it's a casual victory. Right? This battle against Ammon, in which he felt surrounded by Ammon and Aram, and he utters this tefillah of Hashem, Chazak v'nit Chazak b'adameinu v'adarei l'kein v'Hashem yaseh atob einav, God will do that which he seems good. That is the kind of expression you'd find in Sefer Shoftim, where they say in the Yiftach, God will do whatever you want to punish us however you want, but just get us out of this mess. Right? That's exactly what you have. God will do anything you want, just get us out of this mess. They had a noose around their necks. And in the aftermath of that battle, it was a great victory. They survived. They didn't win, they survived. The second battle of Aram in the north, they won. The first battle, they survived. Why is this relevant? So look at the role that Edom plays in this story. When God, when the Hatzotot Aram Narayim Bet Aram Tzova, Vayashav Yoav Yachat Edom. After the battle of Aram, when Yoav went back to destroy Edom, what's the connection between Edom and the battle of Aram? Edom is here in the south, the battle of Aram is here in the north. So they're in trouble, they're going against Ammon, they're in trouble, Aram comes to assist, and in response, we went and attacked Aram, and won, we were victorious. And after that battle, Vayashav Yoav, Yoav went back to clean up and deal with Aram, with Edom. What does Edom have to do with anything? He's down here in the south. I don't understand how Edom enters into the conversation in the same perek, the dealing with Aram and the battle of Aram Naharaim and Aram Tzoba, and Vayashav Yoav, he comes back to deal with Edom and Gemelach. And then in the same breath, talk about Moab. Moab, Seir Achzi, Moab, my washpot, Edom, I cast upon my shoe upon their necks. I will destroy Moab and Edom. The anger outpoured against Ammon and Moab in this parak. For what? They're not even in the story. So, we need to put them into the story. That's a solution. We need to put them into the story. So let's go back to the events of Perek Yud. Battle number one in Perek Yud, starting here. Vayu b'nei Ammon. The children of Ammon saw that they had acted shamefully towards the soldiers of David, and now David has they become odious in the eyes of David, meaning they spoil the relationship between Ammon and David forever. So they know that David is coming out to wage war with them, and that's exactly what we see in the next pasuk. Vayishma David vayishlach et Yoav et kol tzava giborim. וישלחו בני עמון, ויזכרו את הרם ואת רחוב ואת הרמצו, ועשרים אלף רגלי, ואת מלך מאחה אלף איש, ואיש טוב שני מסר אלף איש. They went and they hired all of the armies, the mercenary armies of Aram, to come and help them. ויצאו בני עמון, ויחו מלחמה פתח השער, ורמצו ורחוב, ואיש טוב ומאחה אלף אדם בשדה. And both armies, the army of Ammon and the army of Aram, came out into the field. Yoav saw that he was now surrounded in front of him and behind him. Why am I missing a piece? Let's go back to my map. Here is Ammon. David sends Yoav out to take care of Ammon. And Ammon went and he hired all of the armies of Aram to come and assist. So here is David coming up from the south, And here is Amon from the city of Rabata Me'amon, together with the forces of Aram, coming to assist. And they're all out in the field. Where is Yoav surrounded? I don't get it. Yoav says he is surrounded, panim ve'achor. Amon goes out into Pnei Ashar to the entrance of the gate, and Aram goes out into the field of Pnei Asadeh. Here's the forces of Aram, here is Amon, and here's Ramat Bnei Amon, where the battle took place. Where are they surrounded? I've got two armies to their north, and Yoav and his army to the south. You see my problem? Come back to the Psukim. Vayetzei Bnei Amon ve'erchu milchama petach hashar. Amon came out and put the battle in array, meaning they set their army up at the entrance of the gate, outside of the walls. And Aram of Tzova and Rehov and Tov and Ma'acha basadeh in the field. Okay, so here's my map. They're all over here, right over here, all this area right here. So I don't understand. Why is Yoav in trouble? Why is Yoav feel he's attacked from two sides? Why does Yoav respond and say, "Ki'etah elab nechama mipanim u'me'achor"? From in front of him and behind him. So you understand the problem? Easy when you see it on the map. So there's a piece of the story missing. One little tiny piece of the story. And that little tiny piece of the story appears in Divrei Hayom. So the same story, same battle. In Divrei Yomim, reads as follows. Vayu b'nei Amon, ki itba'ashu im David, this is Divrei Yomim perek yitet, vayishlach hanun b'nei Amon elef ki kakesef liskor lehem min Aram Naraim min Aram Ma'achah u'mitzov ha'rechav u'farashim. Amon saw that he was shamed in the eyes of David, so he sent money to hire the mercenary armies of Aram Naharaim, and Aram Macha, and Tzova, horses and chariots. So far, same story. Vayishkulem shnayim u'shloshim elef rechav, 32,000 chariots. Vet melech Macha vet amo v'yavo v'yachanu, and vet melech Macha b'nei amo. V'yavo v'yachanu lifnei Medva. They came and they encamped at Medva. U'bnei amon ne'esvu me'arehem v'yavo l'machama, and b'nei amon came from their cities. And then the rest of the story, as we have it, Amon in the gate of the city, the other kings in the field, Yoav saw that he was surrounded, etc. The key to this story is one word. Aram came to Medva. Where is Medva? Well, here's the battle. Here's Ramat ben Amon. Here is Amon. And here are the forces of Aram coming. Medva is here, which is south. And now Yoav is taka surrounded. Amon comes out of the gates of the city here to kind of taunt the army forward, as if to say, come and get us, right? We're outside of the protective walls. The walls of the city of Rabat Bnei Amon are an enormous fortress. We know it's an enormous fortress because after this battle, when David sends Yoav back to take the city of Rabat Bnei Amon, it takes him a year to besiege the city because he doesn't want to deal with the walls. Here, at this moment, Yoav, the army of Aram came outside of the gate, Pnei Hashar. But in the meantime, the battles, the armies of Aram are al Pnei Asadeh, are on the field. On the fields where? Well, in Divrei Hayamim, it says they came to Medva. And Medva is here in the south. Medva is here in the south. So I have a simple question. How do the forces of Aram, Damesek, Beit Rehov, Tzova, Ma'acha, Geshur, and Tov find themselves south of the armies of David?
They called on Moab and Edom to help them.
That's the key. The only way they get here without coming through David is to go around the areas of Moab, come not from this direction, which I think why this part of this map I think is incorrect. They actually came around all the way through the desert, through and up along the rivers of Nachal Zared and Nachal Anon, from through the lands of Edom and the lands of Moab, to find themselves in Medba. And now Yoav is attacked on both sides. He's got Ammon to his north, and he's got Aram to his south. And Aram can only be to his south if they had help. And the only way that could have happened is if they went to the lands of Edom and Moab. And hence Tehillim, after the battle is over, when it describes Batsotot Aram Naraim, when David fought against Aram Naraim, and then Vayashuv Yoav Vayachet Edom BeGemelach, he then came back, Yoav, and dealt with Edom in Gemelach. And I would argue with Moab as well. In other words, and we know that the battles in Perakhet are not in chronological order, I would argue that the battles actually took place in the following sequence. The first campaign, of course, is Ammon. They shame the armies of David. David sends Yoav out. Ammon calls on the forces of Aram to come and assist. They come around from Edom and Moab. Moab is no friend of ours. We know that for years. Edom is no friend of ours, even though they're cousins, but not, sometimes that's a problem.
Kissing cousins.
Right? And they come up from the south. And now Yoav finds himself existentially cut off in a battle for his life. And Tehillim describes a battle for his life. Tehillim, he describes it as Elokim Zenachtana, you've abandoned us, Pratstana, you've cut us off, you've broken us, enough to even angry at us, because this is a battle for his life, the heart and soul of Israel. If he loses this battle, there's nowhere to go. It ends in a stalemate. But not before David realizes that we are dealing with a whole new cast of characters. We're dealing with an alliance of not just Ammon and Aram in the north, but Aram, Ammon, Moab, and Edom. It's a war of all our enemies in the east. A war that could overwhelm, like a tidal wave, could overwhelm the state of Israel. And so after David is victorious in the north against the forces of Aram, he comes back south to deal with Moab and Edom. And so I'm not surprised, if this is the sequence of events, I'm not surprised at the level of the anger. And even, especially if Yoav and Avishai are leading the campaigns and not David himself, the level of cruelty involved in his response to Edom and Moab, understandable, because if it wasn't for Edom and Moab, this battle would never have happened. The existential crisis in Ammon would never have happened had the Edom and Moab not given safe passage to the forces of Aram to surround Israel's army and wipe them out. So there's a bone to pick with them. There's a concern to address here. And I think ultimately the vengeance against Ammon and against Moab and Edom, and we'll see in the next part of the story against Ammon as well, when David sends Yoav to Ammon, right? All of this is in the aftermath of the Battle of Aram to address the question of the treason of Moab and Edom by giving safe passage to their enemy in a battle that nearly ended the Jewish state before it started. So that, I think, ultimately is the story of Edom and Moab. I don't think that, again, the Medrash connects the story to Moab because of David's family. But if I look at Moab and Edom as neighbors in the same context, and I see the forces of Aram coming into Medva from the south, it's possible that they came in from the east, but it's more likely they came in from the south along the river lines. And now David has an agenda to address in terms of the the alliance of Moab and Edom had created with Ammon and Aram. And that campaign ends with not just the Battle of Aram, but also the cleanup of the forces in the south of Edom and Moab. So that, I think, is what's going on in this paragraph.
What exactly do you mean by a stalemate? Does that mean that everybody was equally hurt, or whatever?
The Battle of Ammon.
Yeah.
So that was the first campaign. I think we talked about that. In the first battle with Ammon, it says after they're victorious, they survive. Pasuk says, Yoav engaged the forces of Aram. Ammon saw that Aram fled back home, and so they too fled. So Yoav returned from the siege, from the battle against Ammon, and came back to Yerushalayim. But clearly, there's still an army. There's still an enemy. They're still intact. They're still independent. They haven't been defeated. They're just, the battle itself ended with Israel victorious, but ultimately, the enemy was there to kind of live another day. I don't want to draw too many analogies to contemporary battles, but you can use your imagination. How many times have we fought? How many times have we fought in Lebanon? Were they victories or were they stalemates? Right. Some point or another, you go out and then you come back, and you go out and you go back, and you have to acknowledge that there wasn't a victory really in the first place. So that's what happened here. They came to Ammon. They thought they were going to be defeated. They ended up surviving and even winning the battle, but they didn't win the war. Right? The war continues. So that's what I call the stalemate. Right. All right. Questions on this story?
Yeah, do we know how long all this took? How many years were involved?
Well, the only frame of reference we have is, no, we don't know. The battle with Edom is 6 months. That we know from Devarayamim. Sorry, from Malachim. And the battle against Ammon, the second time, right, after the Battle of Aram, after the Battle of the North, when David sends Yoav back to Ammon to deal with Rabat ben Ammon, the city, that siege takes a year. So by extrapolation, I would assume the open field battles are quicker, the siege battles are longer, but overall, we don't have a clear chronology to this period of David's life.
And then after that, he had to clean up Moab and Edom.
Right. So the sequence of the battles between Perek Chet and Perek Yud, the sequence of the battles are the first battle against Ammon, assisted by the forces of Aram coming from the south, assisted by Ammon and Edom, by Moab and Edom. Yoav survives that battle, returns home to Yerushalayim. David then takes the entire army up north into Aram to clean the entire area and claim victory and territorial control over all of the lands up through Syria and up to the Euphrates River. He then sends Yoav and or Avishai back south to clean up with the armies of Moab and Edom for their assistance in the battle with Aram. And then he sends Yoav back to Ammon to defeat Ammon. Yoav chooses to besiege the city. David goes back to Yerushalayim. A year later, we'll find ourselves in the story of David and Bathsheba, because Yoav's on the battlefield and David is in Yerushalayim. So that's the sequence of events, the three major battles in these two prakim, and how I think the Moab-Edom alliance fits in to this picture. The only thing left to discuss in this parak is a couple of little details in Parakhet that we haven't addressed. The spoils of war, the alliance with Toim al-Hamat, the issue of the horses, a couple of kind of what I would call loose ends. And so I want to spend our last shiur looking at those pieces. So we should be able to wrap that up in one more shiur, which will be Bezrat Hashem on May
23rd.
24th. Right, there's no shiur next week because I'm out of town. There's no shiur the week following because it's Shavuos. So May 24th will be our last shiur in this sequence. And then we'll take a break for the summer. And when we start up again, we will delve into the story of David and Bathsheba. All right. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye.